It has been such a great conference. You know, it's so interesting. I'm coming here and I know that I don't speak English well. I have a friend who is correcting me all the time. So I understand that I need more to learn. But you know what? I learn in this conference. I learn about grace. I learn about the love of God. So this is what really encourages me. Me and my wife, we've been married now. This year will be 15 years. And my promise for her was, I will not give you a house, I will not give you a car, but I will take you from country to country, from city to city. And wherever we go, God will take care of us. And you know what? God gave me this promise. And we learn to live by faith every day. And I told her that our life is different. Because if I need something, I need to go to God. If I want to know God's will, I need to go to Him. And we need to plan before. I need to speak to Him every day. And that's what we do. And it's amazing how God is preparing the way and then how He's leading us on that way. And two things I was thinking about, and let's pray first. Okay, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the body of Christ. Please speak to us today, encourage us, lead us in your precious name. Amen. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, His life was very simple. That everything what He did when He was here, He did what the Father told Him. His relationship with the Father was crucial, was the most important. Everything what He said the words what I'm saying are not mine, but are of the Father. So he came in this world and He made Himself a servant. He says in Psalm 40 verse 6 that sacrifice and offering you did not desire. And I like that. He says that you pierce my ears. You have opened my ears. Burnt offering and sin you didn't require from me. But you prepared the body for me. He came in this world to serve. He says that he came not to be served, but to serve. And we see that many times when He did something, He went before God and He prayed. He prayed for a night. He was praying before He made the miracle. He always asked the Father. And that's a good example for us. And every time when I want to do something, I'm looking for peace. Because if I have the peace, then I know that God is there in this. And another thing what I'm looking for, you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for fear. Because I know that there is no fear in love. When I go with God and there is fear, I know that fear comes from the enemy. And I know that God is with me. And I'm looking for the peace. But you know, when I don't have the peace, when there is unrest in my heart, I know that maybe God wants to close that door. I don't want to be in the place where God doesn't want me to be. I have a friend in Cluj. His name is Danny. And he was mentally sick. About 3 years ago, I found him in a hospital, mental sick hospital. He was taking like 23 pills every day. And he tried to commit suicide. And his life. He was a wretch. He was a piece of meat. He couldn't think. He had no capacity for anything. And one thing what God put in my heart to do is just go, pray with him, and tell him who he is in Christ. And I went. And I went like every day for 1.5 years. And I ministered to him. And you know what? Something happened. His life changed. He believed in Christ. And then little by little, he started to come out of the medication. And he was telling me, Pastor Julian, why God doesn't heal me? And I say, God will heal you, but will heal you gradually, step by step. And it's by the word. And that's what he learned. He learned to depend on the Father every day. And first, his prayer was like only me and myself. But then, I see how his prayer life changed. He became like, Father, I pray for my dad and my mom. I pray for my sister. I pray for my neighbor. And during the conference, he called me up one day and he said, "Now, Pastor Julian, today I evangelized someone." And I said, "How that happen?" He said, "You know, I pray for this neighbor. And I see the Jehovah Witnesses were speaking with her. And then I wait and I went there and I start to talk to her and tell her about Jesus." And he said, and she started to tell me all her life, everything what she did. "And what did you tell her?" I said. He said, "I told her that Jesus forgave her." And you know, this is what is changing someone's life. Like when we have, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And we know that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of love, of power, and sound mind. We learn how to think with him, and we learn how to listen to him, and then to walk with him in everyday journey. And then, as we learn in this conference, that as we grow, we care not only about ourselves, but we care for our family, we care for our country. We stay in the gap. Like we know that God is looking for someone to stand, not to be a child, but to be a soldier. We know that we stand and we know who we fight against. We know the enemy, but we know that God is greater and God will use us in his plan. And I love that. So please pray. I don't know, this year, God put it in our heart, this country. You know, I tell you, I love Hungary. It's the place where I got saved. But this country, United States of America, is the place I can say where I receive my bread, my daily bread, you know, through Pastor Stevens, through Pastor Schaller. And I honor so much this country, and I honor your ministry and your portion in Christ. So God put it in my heart to come, to pray, and to travel here, and to minister to people. So please pray for us. We'll be here until August, and we'll visit churches, and we'll visit people. And I can see that things are happening, that God is doing. And I think, you know, prayer is so important. I can see miracles happening, and I know that God wants us to pray. This is the way how things are happening. When we pray and God is speaking to us, and then God is leading us. And as we walk, he will prepare for us. He will lead us in the works what he prepared for us to walk beforehand. Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, it's our birthday as a nation. I love that message on prayer. Wasn't that good? Wow, that was very good. My heart burned a little bit in me listening to him. Wasn't it good? Almost like, you know, go for it. Keep going. Keep preaching. Boy, that was so good. I kind of would like him to do that right now, but I guess not. I'm the one making that decision, and it's a tough one. Actually, that's one of the more difficult things that I have to deal with is, utilizing people and seeing their ministry and wanting them to minister in the body. And we did an amazing, I think, how many slots, Pastor Steve, you remember? In Uricon, like 72 different speakers or something like this. It's a challenge. And I know how you are because you are spiritually minded and are just listening to hear from God what he has to say. And Pastor Julian, that was very good. I loved it. Wasn't it good? It was very good. And there are people that when I go to bed at night, I'm thinking, oh, haven't heard from this brother and this one. And, it's challenging. But, praise God, we are doing good things here. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 29. For part of our reading, before keep your finger there. We're going to go to Judges, the last verse of Judges. I think you maybe know this principle is Judges 25. So the person putting the verses up on the screen is wondering, what do you want, Pastor? What do you want, Proverbs or Judges? Judges is the answer to that. Judges last. 21:25. Judges chapter 21, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man that did that which was right in his own eyes. So there was no government that was really controlling the whole country. You have different tribes, like something like the United States of America without a president or without a federal government. Every state is doing what they want to do in their own eyes, for example. In the time of Israel, when there was no king, then the tribal families were the ones that were governing the territories, and it was broken up into many little pieces, and they just did what was right in their own eyes. Now I have a quote from Chesterton that I'd like to put up, and I hope that that's on the iPad, so that'll be a different, maybe it'll come up there in the middle, okay? Chesterton was a British philosopher, Christian, Catholic, actually, thinker, and he said, the trouble when people stop believing in God is not that after they become atheists, it's not that after they believe in nothing, it is that they, after they become atheists, believe in anything. In the 20th century, there were three examples of this. This is Hitler in Germany. This is Stalin in the Soviet Union and Mao in China. Stalin and Mao, atheists in their ideology and propagating it. Hitler in his philosophy, essentially, and his the ideology of Nazism, believing in anything is the problem. But when we believe in God, now our world is now under the, it's now we are accountable to God. We are believing in God. Of course, there are ideologies and religions that are believing in God, and it does produce trouble, war, and many other problems that are part of human nature. But the point I want to make, and there's a few of them, is here in Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Because righteousness is above people and beyond people. And when we have law, law is above personal preferences. Like my uncle may be more important to me than God. The rich man that lives next door to me may be more important to me than God. My children may be more important to me than God. And in a country, our personal preferences and partiality violates the rule of righteousness, because righteousness is blind to the personal preference that we have regarding people. The point of William Shakespeare's plays, and he wrote 38 of them, was that the poverty with the life in the gutter was bad, but so was the life in the palace. That the king is as bad off as the guy in the gutter. That the king needs somebody to rule over him as well as the man in the gutter needs somebody to rule over him. When we realize this as a people, that righteousness is what rules, then we rejoice in that. I would like the local judge in the courthouse to be fair, righteous, honest. You cannot bribe him, mislead him. You cannot pervert his judgment. When we are in a country where we feel and sense that the country is ruled by law, then we rejoice in that. Because then we have a feeling of fairness, righteousness. Righteousness is important to people. You know it in your heart when something is right and something is dishonest. Many people in the world are suffering because of bad government. Turn with me to verse, the same chapter, but verse 4. The king, by judgment, establishes the land. Now, in our country, and I think I'm a little bit ahead of myself, but we have this Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776, written by 33-year-old Thomas Jefferson, opens it up by saying that man has certain inalienable, like not compromising rights, certain nature that he is in pursuit of and that he wants. And that's life and liberty. And it said originally the pursuit of property or the ownership of property, but they changed it to the pursuit of happiness. He did. In any case, when Lincoln made his Gettysburg Address, he referred to the Constitution, and he said that this is guaranteed in our Constitution, that people have a right. When it says people, it means people, black or white or any color. If they are a person, then they are guaranteed this. You might say, well, not the slave, but that was the very point of the argument, that Lincoln would, look at verse 4 again, the king by judgment establishes the land. he made a judgment that if the Constitution does not apply to this slave, the black man, then it applies to nobody. There's no guarantee for anybody if it doesn't apply for everybody. Very logical thought. But what is this? This is my preference in the South is to follow our way of life that we had in Lincoln's second inaugural address. He said 250 years of slavery that existed here in the 13 colonies. You know, and he said, you know, he made reference to that. But this isn't the Constitution. Constitution is higher. It's the guarantee. This is important to us because the health of a nation is when the people love righteousness. That's the thing. It's loving righteousness that we don't. Therefore, we do whatever is right in our own eyes, whatever our preferences are, whatever the people may say, whatever popular opinion or the media or whatever they say. This is dangerous for a country because we appeal to the higher rule. And because we are born again, this is interesting to us. If you're not born again, you don't care about this discussion or you don't care about this message. But if you're born again, you're made for this, like a fish in the water. I want to know about what is right, what is wrong, what is true, what is false. That's why we fought the Civil War, because it was interesting enough and became politically, you know, unable to manage the problem. And so we fought a bloody, terrible, horrible Civil War for the sake of the Constitution, the belief that men are created equal. That is valuable. That is important. So look at this for a minute. It says, verse 4, the king by judgment establishes the land, but he that receives gifts overthrows it. Bribery. Money is more important than what is right. Bribery, you can buy me. You can pay for, you can bribe the judge. You can pay the politician. Bribery, it's poison. But all of us are prone to it unless we have something bigger than us, God. When we have God, he's bigger than us. Bigger than our life, our own way. I want God. I'd like to follow God, believe in God, embrace God, find God. This is the health of the nation, is spiritual revival. When people will say, I know I could get a lot of money, but I want to do the right thing. When people could say, you know, I understand that argument, but I don't feel that it is God's will in my heart. It's not what I believe in. I have to do the right thing. If there were enough of these people, then would Hitler have made it into power? Then Stalin murdered his opposition, as Hitler did too, and Mao did also. But this is a decision that we as believers have to face at different times in life as to what is important and what is valuable and important to us. It's awesome. If there are enough believers that are loving righteousness, then we will vote in righteous leadership, which is our responsibility, and look for people that will be honest and right. Okay. Now, I want to backtrack a little bit on the point and go to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. And draw a diagram here. There was a time when all the world had one language. This is Genesis 11 and verse 1. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, all right, now, let's stop there for a minute. Just by way of not having anything to do with geography, but just to give the impression, there is a unified world population. They have one language and one leader. His name was Nimrod. And man is powerful, smart. God said, I always think of this when I think of an iPhone, when it says in Genesis 11, verse 6, the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. This they have begun to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them. And I just want you to repeat that phrase back to me, would you? And now nothing will be restrained from them. Let's do it again. Now nothing will be restrained from them. I wonder what he means. What does God mean when he says, I see these people, they're all one, and they are very gifted and very capable. They're building a tower up into the heavens, but that's ancient world technology and work. But could we say, like, even there's nothing they can't do? Can they go to the moon? Yep, they can go to the moon. They can walk on the moon one day. What else could they do? They can make an iPhone. They can put satellites up into the stratosphere, up into outer space, rather. They are, human beings are incredible, made in God's image. When he saw that, he decided to change it. He decided to slow it down or change it. He wanted it to be different. Why? Why didn't he want the world to be one language and one people? And why didn't he want it to be one? Have you ever thought about it? He said, because now nothing, they can do whatever. It's like, yeah, but that doesn't tell me much. I don't know why. Why didn't he want the whole world to be unified in one? What do you think? Because in verse 7 it says, go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So he did something about it. But why did he break it up? Why didn't he let it go the way it was? Right? What do you think? They were arrogant. Yes. I got an idea about it. And that's my message. We get to this point. I'm going to say it to teach you something, for you to think about it, and then take it home on the birthday of the United States of America, okay? If Nimrod is an antichrist, up on our screen here, if that man is an antichrist, what kind of power does he have? He has power over the whole world. He is like an antichrist leader, and we know that that's what it says. He was an antichrist man, a ruler, a tyrant, a dictator, powerful man in control of the whole world and its population. God is seeing that, he's saying this, he's saying, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to take and break people up into different groups. This is my plan, right? I'm going to give different languages. Because if I give different languages, if people speak different languages, then they will not be together. I'll break them up. And these people will go over here, and there'll be a tribe and a nation, and these people will go over there. Why did he do it? Because, in my opinion, and let's interject here this one amazing point. He has in mind one particular nation, a particular group of people. Which group is it? And how many people are there at this point in time? Genesis 11. How many Jews are there? None. None. But he takes from one of these a man. I'll put here a dot. What's his name? Abraham. And he says to Abraham, "You, sir, are the man. From you, from your seed, by me, God, I will make known to the world. I will, as God, put my hand on you, and everybody that is coming from you, your seed." And they go down into Egypt as slaves. They are nobodies. There were 70 of them. They come out a couple million. Let's draw this group this way. Who are they? Not Antichrist. They are the messengers, prophets, kings. They are the ones writing the Bible. And the reason why I believe he broke up the world this way is because of what we could call like geopolitical balance. That this nation is an evil one with an Antichrist leader. And he throws people in jail and he murders his opposition and he's a tyrant. But on the other side of the earth or the other side of the mountains or across the sea, there's another group of people and they are seeking God. And they have a leader that is a righteous man. They have somebody that is seeking God. They have a man that wants to know about the Jews, like the Queen of Sheba, travels to see Solomon and hear his wisdom. And when she goes back, she is saying, "I met him. I know who he is. I've asked him the questions. I found Christ. I found God." We have thousands of years of a contest with messengers. One of the marks of an evil nation is when they get rid of Jewish people, they get rid of Christian people, they get rid of the Bible, they get rid of righteousness, and it happens. Some of them came to this country. And our founding fathers said they realized this and they wanted some government that could not guarantee. There are certain things that, you know, they were wrestling with as these brilliant men coming, knowing history and coming from Europe and understanding about the abuse of power, but putting together a constitution that would somehow guarantee us the freedom that is needed in order to decide for yourself what you believe. ...243 years later, here we are. And our country is in a contest with this principle of, are we seeking God? Are we wanting God? Do we realize how important God is in our lives, in our nation's history, in our future. And by the way, when Lincoln gave his Gettysburg Address, he said that this contest is whether this nation will survive or if this nation will perish from off the face of the earth. He's got it right. It can be lost. It happens. The answer for our country is the gospel. The answer for what we have been doing through, or the address in the whole world, is to go into these places and to bring the message. And everywhere we go, there are people that are spiritually hungry and asking the question, who is your God? Why do you believe in him? Why should I believe in him? How do I know you're telling me the truth? How can I be sure about it? And when we are prepared to give those answers, we ourselves are shocked that they become believers and are part of a holy nation. Not the United States of America or any other country on the earth, but a holy nation, peculiar and different, with another spirit and with God as our Father. Now, we love righteousness. We have a high calling. The end is coming one day. And you know who ultimately is going to be governing and ruling this whole thing one day with all the nations? Israel and the Messiah and the church. There'll be a new age. And we'll say, you know, this kingdom in the millennium, I tasted it before. I tasted it on the earth. I tasted it in the church. I tasted it in the convention time. I was with many international people, and we all had the same spirit, loved the same thing, and called God our Father. We're reading from the same Bible and saying it's true. It's true. And amazed at it. So that's a comment for tonight. I appreciate so much that we are together in this. We believe it. I say this to you tonight just for you to think it over, mull it over, and consider that God is saying, I also gave the barriers of the countries, what is it, Acts 17, maybe just throw it up on the, is it 26? Try that, please. Acts 17, 26, and we'll finish up here. Acts 17. Okay. Has made of one blood all nations of men in order to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before and the bounds of their habitation. You know, it seems to me that the Lord decided China would be this big, and he decided that Russia would be this big, and that Israel would be this big, and that the United States would be this big. It seems to me that he's involved in the bounds of our habitation, that one tribe would live between this mountain range and this mountain range, and on the other side, another people would be living on that side. He decided it. And in every nation, he is given a message. And now he has commanded all men everywhere to repent, all men everywhere to believe in Christ, the one that God has appointed. And this is the message of the gospel. And we in the United States of America are enjoying our liberties and our freedoms, but beware, because they are based on the love of righteousness. And when our leaders and our people stop loving righteousness, then we will do what is right in our own eyes. And now we're in trouble, because they will believe in anything. And when that happens, we're in trouble. But hallelujah, glory to God, we're not there yet. We can see it, but we're not afraid of it. We're just busy and active in what we're doing, and I am very thankful for that. Amen. Amen. Father, we are praying to you for our country. You gave it to us. We have prospered, but we're recognizing the limits of our materialism, the dangers of our freedom, recognizing what is happening around us. Bless the churches, the preachers, the pastors, the leaders. Bless the body members. Our prayers, answer our prayers, expand our work, and send us always, and lead us with a message and a mission in our hearts, that many people would come to you, Jesus. Send them on university campuses, colleges, classrooms. Send them, Lord, everywhere, in the highways and byways. We are messengers of the living God. And like Julian said, Pastor Julian said, you hear our prayers. Bless our labor in Jesus' name. Anyone listening to me wants to believe in Jesus, please come to Jesus tonight by faith. By faith, believe in Jesus. He will save you. In Jesus' name, amen.